Welcome to the Information Security Forum podcast. I'm your host, Tavia Gilbert.
Your user is the weakest point. You can have the best security implementations in the world, but if your users are not trained and they click on the link, you are going to be in trouble.
That's today's guest, John Fisher, former FBI agent and current managing director for LifeHARS. In this episode of the ISF podcast, you'll hear the second part of this conversation with ISF Managing Director Steve Durbin, in which John and Steve consider how to improve employee education in cybersecurity awareness, the best way to run a tabletop exercise, and more.
We're back to nation states again and financial services. Financial services have been under constant attack. It's where the money is. Some would say that they're probably more advanced than some of the other industries in their ability to understand some of these threats, to deal with that threat intelligence constructively. They probably have more sophisticated tools available to them to deal with it. In your experience, would that be fair? I mean, are financial services organizations really that, I suppose, well-equipped to deal with some of the nation-state attacks that we're starting to see emerge?
I think so. And frankly, a point that you covered is that they have more resources. I mean, bluntly, they've got money to pour into cybersecurity programs. And they need to, because the economy is very important. And like we saw in maybe the 2012-2013 DDoS attacks, there can be a significant impact if those networks aren't well protected. I think that here in the U.S., we're doing a great job of integrating the financial services with government programs to help ensure that the best security measures are being taken. I think so. To answer your question, yes, I think the financial industry does have the appropriate resources. Yes, I think they should be dedicating those resources.
One of the things that I find quite alarming, I guess, is this transitioning of attack from the corporate, from the corporation, that if it's financial services is pretty well equipped to deal with it, across to the individual, either as a means of gaining access into a large corporation or simply because that individual is attractive for whatever reason from a spear phishing standpoint. Is that fair? I mean, is that the sort of thing that you would say you'd seen during your time at the FBI?
I would be willing to say that most security professionals would agree that your user is the weakest point. You can have the best security implementations in the world, but if your users are not trained and they click on the link, you're going to be in trouble. I would say that, yes, particular attention has to be paid to training programs within your security architecture, infrastructure. It's not just having the right technical implementations. It is also ensuring that everybody knows what the threat is out there and how to mitigate that.
But one of the challenges with that is that we've been talking about awareness and the user from a security standpoint for years. And there is a view that it's a little bit of a bottomless pit. You know, we keep pouring money into it, and yet at the same time, the awareness level isn't increasing to the level where it's an effective barrier. So where do we go? I mean, what are some of the more sophisticated awareness programs that we might be able to roll out?
That's a question that we're all going to need to answer. And going back to my transition from government to the public sector, I do agree that I still serve in a capacity of that public service, and I think everybody in the security industry plays a role in public service. So developing these training programs is what we would need to focus on. How to implement the appropriate training is going to depend on your organization, the size, the makeup of your industry, whatever it may be. I think user awareness is certainly increasing as the media pays more attention to attacks, particularly on the nation state side. The criminal organizations don't seem to get as much attraction or as much attention in the media as the nation state actors do. But every time a large hack happens, people are aware of it. And I think we need to tie in training with that. So let's take the Marriott breach, for instance. Well documented in the media, The question is, did your organization send out any information? Did your organization make your users aware that this breach happened? People may have skimmed past it through their Reuters feed or whatever it may be. But if your organization takes the time to inform your employees, hey, this is what happened, this is why it happened, and kind of rehash the idea that they need to be cautious in your corporate environment.
Mm-hmm. So really trying to make it come alive, I guess, for individuals, right? That's what you're suggesting.
That's a great perspective. Yes. Make it hit home.
Right.
Show your users the dangers of not paying attention. Show them what your company has at risk and what could be lost from a financial perspective, from a data perspective, whatever it may be. Show them the potential loss from your company if something like this were to happen to you.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned quite a lot in our chat here the role of nation state from a threat perspective. And certainly in the most recent report that the ISF has brought out, the Threat Horizon 2021, where we look forward a couple of years, I think a large number of the threats that we highlight there are really around that whole nation state piece. So we talk, for instance, about nation states targeting the cloud, you know, sabotaging cloud, taking down cloud providers. We talk about nation states manipulating machine learning, for instance, and the effect that that can have. The fact that with 5G technology, that's going to expose, again, a whole range of different possibilities to both cyber criminals and nation states. Is the individual organization sufficiently well equipped to deal with a nation-state-sponsored attack across all of these different areas?
The unfortunate thing is that there is likely always a vector somewhere. You can take all of the precautions you can. If you have the resources to create a very robust security system, you may be well protected, but I'm sure there are plenty out there that would argue they'll always be able to find a way. And the nation states have the time and the resources to find that small little pinhole in your organization and exploit it. As technologies evolve, as we move to cloud, 5G technology, I am certain, and I'm not speaking as an insider on this perspective, but I am certain that every nation is paying attention to that technology and how to leverage that technology in their defensive or potentially offensive capabilities. So as an organization, as you're moving to this new infrastructure, you need to be paying attention to the weaknesses. You need to stay apprised of the threats, what your adversaries to your network have potentially created to take advantage of any loopholes that might be in this new technology.
And certainly for a lot of organizations, that can be quite overwhelming. I mean, just the volume of data. And certainly one of the things that I always advise people to do is to focus on what I refer to as the crown jewels, you know, the critical assets. You have to start somewhere, right? So let's focus on those first, make sure those are as protected as possible, and then we can move out across the rest of the enterprise. Would you agree with that?
I couldn't agree more. Most organizations aren't going to be given the resources. Most CISOs are probably going to face difficulty in requesting funding or whatever it may be, especially if your company, if your environment hasn't been publicly targeted like some of the bigger sectors out there. Agreed 100% that what you need to do is focus on your most important assets and secure that first. You may have several different segments of your network that's maybe contain data of no value, but you have to also ensure that there is no connectivity to your crown jewels because that's what's going to be targeted. But yes, you need to focus on the most important assets you have, how to secure those, and then you can kind of move outbound from there.
One of the other things that we're suggesting at the ISF now to a lot of our member organizations is that having identified these assets, having made sure that you've got as good a level of protection around them as possible, you then run some fairly aggressive cybersecurity breach scenarios, so that you do actually play out how you might respond to a breach. Any tips that you've got in that space?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Tabletop exercises are a great way to train for the inevitable. And again, this is another realm in which the government partners can help out. The FBI is happy to assist in developing exercises while they might not have the resources to focus on your organization individually. getting together as a sector might help spur the conversation. So if there are a few other companies in your local area that have an interest in doing this as well, you can reach out to the FBI or to DHS and request some assistance, or even maybe just one of their cyber agents to come out and sit with you as your organization conducts a tabletop exercise and throw some pointers or suggestions your way. If you have the resources, there are certainly commercial options out there for tabletop exercises, but I know that a lot of organizations struggle with funding in their security programs, and that might be less of a priority as opposed to the software or the manpower to secure your network.
Some great suggestions there, John, though, because I mean, I certainly wasn't aware that the FBI and DHS would be prepared to participate in those sorts of exercises. And clearly, they've got a very different perspective that they can add. So I think that's a really good tip. John, thank you very much indeed for sharing some of your insights there. Fascinating to get that perspective of somebody who spent such a long time in public service and then transitioned out into private. And as I say, some great hints and tips there that certainly I wasn't aware of. So thank you very much indeed for spending the time.
This was great. I certainly appreciate it.
That concludes our two conversations with John Fisher and ISF Managing Director Steve Durbin. If you missed the first part of the conversation, you can find that episode and more on the ISF media page. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a valuable conversation with Steve and an expert guest. We'll be back soon with another in our ongoing series of conversations. In the meantime, for more podcasts, videocasts, and additional resources for CISOs and anyone looking to enhance the security of their business, please visit securityforum.org. And listeners, it's always great to hear from you. If there's a topic you'd like us to cover or someone you'd like us to interview, get in touch through our website or tweet us at Security Forum. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.